Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Rick Vavro and Austin Underground. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Guys, tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Get those questions in. We'll get to them here in a little bit. But first, guys, we got to talk about the news of the day. Seems like it's been the news of the past couple of weeks. The portal. What's the latest?
Jerry, I'll let you go, bud.
Yeah. I think Texas remains working in the portal, as we've said. This is a staff that recruits through the whistle. So we've said it before. We kind of coined that phrase here at On Texas Football a couple of years ago. But Texas will recruit through the whistle. They're not going to leave any stone unturned. There could be a grad transfer pop up. We'll see what happens. But I think Texas remains active in the portal, and we'll see what comes of that.
Yeah, Jerry, I think that the important part that we've talked about is there's two pieces to this. Texas is going to continue to try to go after guys that are immediately available and can make a difference this year. And they're going to continue to try to bolster the roster in parts where they think they may be a year behind in certain places. We've talked about Johnny Bowens out of Converse Judson. There may be others that Texas is starting to look at a little bit at defensive tackle as well. So as you mentioned yesterday, we still think that's in the evaluation stage with Johnny Bowens. Could it move to to a different stage? Absolutely. But right now, that's where that is. I think that's what's interesting to me here is Texas just not. I go back to it and I say it a ton. They're not taking no for an answer in certain situations, and they're gonna root. You say recruit through the whistle. I didn't say. I mean, it's dogged recruiting. You know, yeah. It's like Manny dog eat dog world out there, and Longhorns not going to be the one that get eaten right now, in my opinion. They're ready to go. So.
Well, somebody else that's been ready to go is our own Jerry Hamilton on the road still. What have you been seeing, Jerry?
Yeah, I know. I've had a good week so far. You know, last Thursday I saw KJ Lacy at Saraland. Friday I saw Kevin Green, the four-star D lineman from Wayne County, who will officially visit June 14th through 16th. Saw a little AAU basketball that evening. KD was at the event in Atlanta. And then watching his team Durant and then checked in a couple of guys there. Then was at a track meet in Georgia Saturday. Saw Jamie French on Monday. There's all these videos are up. The interviews are up on Texas Football if you guys have missed them. Then Tuesday was a big day. Derry Norris and Brandon Brown. Today, I'm very excited going down to American Heritage to watch Dia Bell, the 26th quarterback, one of the two quarterbacks with a Texas offer right now. That's Troy Hune out of Mission Hills. High in San Marcos, California, Southern California there, and Dia Bell, son of Raja Bell, former NBA defensive stopper. But I think Dia Bell's extremely talented quarterback. So I'm really excited to go watch him today. Then Friday morning, I'll see Myron Charles. I'm mixing a stopper, too, in between. But Friday, I'll see Myron Charles, the four-star defensive lineman out of Port Charlotte. And then we'll start making our way back to Texas, man. But it's been a very productive trip. The Texas coaches are on the road pretty much around the state of Texas, a couple out west. But it's been a state of Texas week after being out of state a lot last week, seeing top targets. DFW, if you were driving around there at high schools, you saw some Texas coaches at DFW Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think some guys are doing a lot of work in Houston today, tomorrow, as they will be next week as well. It's been interesting. I mean, we talk about this with the staff. Leaving no stone unturned. That includes an evaluation, guys. I mean, C.J. Vogel had a great note yesterday, great note when he was at Bastrop High, that Terry Joseph was there watching Ramones Adams, the corner athlete that's committed to Texas Tech at Bastrop. He was at Smithville, moved at Bastrop High. It continues that evaluation process at corner, right? We saw Devin Williams from Buford, who I do know, Kenny Baker and Choice, I believe, were through there last week. They went to Collins Hill and Buford, and the corner, four-star corner, top 200 kid in the country, Devin Williams, committed to Auburn at Buford, sets up an official visit June 21st through 23rd, and I exchanged some messages with Devin yesterday. He's never been to campus at Texas before, so I think that'll be interesting. Texas, most of the guys that Texas comes away with in classes have been on campus before the official visit, but I will say this, That's going to have to change on defensive line recruiting a little this year because Kenny Baker wasn't here for the January evaluation. Pretty made a few stops in the Houston and Dallas area, but he didn't go out and evaluate these guys. He's just been doing that here in the last couple of weeks in the spring evaluation period. And when I say leave no stone unturned, I got a text the other day. I guess it was Tuesday. Kenny Baker was at Lorena High School watching Jackson Blackwell. He's a defensive lineman that is, Arizona. There was a picture with Dwayne Aquina, Bobby, yesterday. He officially visited Arizona, TCU. A lot of people are in on him, Baylor. But a guy that is squats 700 pounds, a really athletic kid, plays really hard, has a great motor. And so as you look at a four-man defensive line class for Texas in the high school ranks, you know, they're going to evaluate a lot of guys to get to the four they really want. And so they're not going to leave any stone unturned with this staff. And I think they're out and about around the state of Texas this week. DFW, I know Kyle Flood's been to a lot of places checking in with coaches. I mean, he was at Michael Fasusi's school Monday, as well as Toa Katoa, John Turntine. Then I think Lamont Rogers, Jordan and Devin Coleman. I mean, you kind of go down the list Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Kyle Flood was in that area. Blake Gideon was looking at some younger deep safeties in the DFW area early in the week. So staff's out and about, recruit through the whistle, evaluate through the whistle. You're seeing a couple of new official visitors added. We have the updated June official visitors list at ontexasfootball.com right now. If you want to go see all 40 names that right now we have confirmed for visits, and I think that number will work up to 42 or 43 in our next week.
Hey, Jerry, don't forget Texas wide receivers coach Chris Jackson was up in the Metroplex yesterday, and he offered two 2027 receivers too. So it's not, to your point about evaluation, it's not just the guys for this year. It's going on Tay Ellis, a wide receiver out of Crowley, 2027, and Trenton Yancey out of Arlington Lamar, both considered top elite prospects. Longhorns have now offered them and put their hat in the ring. What's interesting is Chris Jackson doing a lot of this recruiting. Chris Jackson also with Jamie French out in Jacksonville. And y'all got to remember, Chris Jackson was the wide receivers coach of the Jaguars. So don't forget that little tie-in there as well. We've got a number of other topics to hit today outside of just recruiting and outside of just portal. Pro Football Focus came out with its top 10 returning players at each position. Only two Longhorns made the list, guys. Quinn Ewers comes in as the number 5 quarterback behind Dylan Gabriel. Not in order there. Dylan Gabriel is number 2. Carson Beck, Dylan Gabriel, Jalen Milroe ahead of Quinn Ewers. He didn't win the matchup in Tuscaloosa, that's for sure. Shadur Sanders at 4, and then Quinn Ewers at 5. What was interesting about not only the Quinn Ewers list, the other one for the Longhorns, of course, Kelvin Banks ranked the number 2 overall offensive tackle. I looked through this list and did a little research here before the show, guys. Not surprising that Michigan and Georgia would be the two most talented teams Texas is expected to see. What was surprising is this. Texas, of every single position, Texas only had two guys listed in the top 10 at any position, Ewers and Banks. Guess how many Michigan had, Jerry?
Top 10. Probably 7.
Exactly 7. That is 7, but 6 of them are on defense.
Yeah.
They are loaded on defense. 2 defensive tackles, 1 edge, 1 linebacker, 1 safety, 1 corner. So they are loaded on the list. I do think it's not a great list, Brandon, because I was looking through some of it. But also Georgia, by the way, had 5 on the list. They were 2nd. They were basically heavier on offense, which was interesting, than defense. Jerry, they had 4 guys on offense, 2 offensive linemen, a tight end, and then the quarterback, and only Malachi Starks, the safety, on the back end. No front 7 guys for Georgia. And you know they're talented up there. They'll probably have somebody by the end of the year. But no other team had more than 2 that Texas plays. A&M had 2. Nick Scowerton, the transfer from Purdue that's originally from Bryan. He came in as an edge, number 2 overall, by the way. Troy Zune, the offensive tackle out of Colorado that's at A&M now. He came in as the number 10 offensive tackle. Kentucky was the only other team that Texas plays that had two. They had Deontay Walker and then a linebacker.
Who transferred from Georgia. Yeah. So look, we always take these things with a grain of salt. I think PFF does a good job with what they do. Is it end all be all list? No. But what it is it's a good thing to talk about, right? I mean, it gives you a glimpse into what some people are thinking about some returning players at colleges. And I really, what I cared about looking at that was the Texas schedule, who they're going to play.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Exactly, right? So, I mean, look, all these lists are going to change. I talk about this all the time. Look at take a screenshot of the 2025 mock drafts that came out 2 days after the NFL draft and look at how much it changes between now and next year, not before the draft, but 2 months before draft, after a month after the end of the college season, 70-75% of that list changes. So I think I'll say this. I think Michigan is extremely talented on defense. I think Michigan and Georgia will be two of the top 5-6 level talent defenses Texas could play in the entire country. So I think it's a great test. I think Georgia's offensive line has 4 pros on it. Four of the 5 starters back from that bowl game, which FSU didn't show up for last year. But 4 of those 5 starters are back. They lost a center who got drafted, I believe, in the 5th round, Cedric Van Pran, and he added another name. So they lost 1 starter, but they have 4 guys back. Obviously, 2 tight ends, Oscar Delp and the Juracek, the kid from Stanford who was on that list. 2 draftable tight ends, draftable quarterback. Trevor Etienne will probably be a draftable running back who transferred from Florida. So it's just interesting when you look at it. But Georgia's defensive front will be one of the top 2 or 3 Texas faces. After it'll be Michigan, Georgia, and then we'll see where A&M falls into that group.
Yeah, and somebody, Forrest Eldridge, saying there's not 10 better than Hill. There's not 10 more talented than Hill. We'll see if he actually makes that transition to being a great linebacker, not just a great athlete playing linebacker. I think he will. But keep that in mind, too. I want to say something else here. OU only had 1 on the list, linebacker Danny Stutzman, who returned. He was going to go pro, but he returned. The Sooners not going in SEC fully loaded. Although, you know, obviously with Dominic Williams, I was kind of surprised he wasn't on this list as a top 10 defensive lineman. I was also surprised from a Longhorn perspective. Not only that Anthony Hill didn't get a look, but Trey Moore and Isaiah Bond.
Yeah.
And maybe Andrew McCuba at safety. No Jade Barron. Texas has some guys that are on the cusp there. Amari Nyblack, you know, he probably could sneak in there because of his ability as a mismatch. But, you know, Texas got some proving to do, according to Pro Football Focus, at least.
All right, Bobby, why don't you tell us about Austin Underground real quick?
Yeah, absolutely, Blake, we'll do. Rick Vavro and his team at Austin Underground have specialized in difficult underground commercial installations since 2004. The team's engineering background gives Austin Underground the ability to perform work other firms often just consider too risky. Rick and his team offer an end-to-end client experience, including seamless communication, budgeting, staffing, and top-notch trade partners. And most importantly, they produce solid quality work each and every time. That's Austin Underground. We appreciate them sponsoring every Thursday morning's Coffee and Football.
And we're getting some questions about that PFF list, guys. So let's take a couple of them while we're on that subject. And Phil wants to know, do you think that Quinn Ewers' deep ball is the reason that he's not higher? It missed a lot.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. If you look at the list, I mean, I think that's a college list versus an NFL list. Dillon Gabriel is not going to be a drafted quarterback or highly drafted quarterback, right? So I think these lists are a little different. I think the mock drafts are much different than the list that PFF put out. So, is Dillon Gabriel a better college quarterback than Quinn?
That's arguable. It's arguable right now for sure. Yeah.
I mean, he's 5 years starter. This will be 6 for him. It'll be interesting. Is Dillon Gabriel going to be as good as Bo Nix? I say in that offense, I say no, because Bo Nix was such a good athlete. So that's what will be interesting. They'll take a look at the list now versus what they do after the season. I think those lists are – oh, I almost bring those up because they're fun to look at now, and then what does it look like next year? It changes a lot. Look, I mean, to be fair, you know, we talked about Jonathan Brooks on here, but nobody else did.
Yeah, no, I get it. The question is whether or not Quinn Ewers should be rated highly. And I can see why Jalen Milroe as a college quarterback would be rated higher if you're going to run a running offense. If you're going to throw the ball, there's no chance, right? Yeah. It's just and so you're not really comparing apples to apples there. You're comparing two different styles.
I will say
the proxy, in my opinion, the proxy for Jalen Milroe in the NFL is not, you know, it's not Pat Mahomes. His proxy is Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I think he got a Kalen DeBoer bump a little bit too.
Yeah, he may have, but
look, if Tommy Rees was still there, he wouldn't have been that high. If he was still playing.
I don't know. He came. People were talking about Jalen Milroe in the Heisman hunt late in the year. Now, I thought it was crazy.
College, if Kalen DeBoer can maximize him. Now, and we've talked about it, how much of the Kalen DeBoer's playbook in the passing game will he put into play next year? How restricted will he be with Milroe? But the key is putting a guy in the best position to be successful and maximize what he can do. If Kalen DeBoer does that, Jalen Milroe in year two, he's going to be a very dangerous college football player. And he's not accurate, and I'm not saying he's going to become some accurate 70% passer. But what I am saying is you put Kalen DeBoer's mind with Jalen Milroe's talent in year two as a starter with that off-schedule ability, that running ability, that run game scheme, I think is going to benefit Jalen Milroe as well. I think we'll see that kind of come into play. But I think Jalen Milroe will have a really good year with Kalen DeBoer.
I think he gets that. But I'm telling you, I think people see him as a Jalen Hurts type of guy. I'm just not saying they're right or wrong, but Jalen Hurts doing really well in the pros right now, but he's a run-centric quarterback in a run-centric offense, and then they throw deep. And Jalen Milroe is a run-centric quarterback who can throw deep. I mean, he's got a hose for an arm. So I think that's the proxy for him, in my opinion. So we'll see how that goes. I still believe that Quinn Ewers – the problem with Quinn Ewers, maybe, Jerry, is what does he do that's sexy as a quarterback?
Right.
Shedeur Sanders runs around and gets out of trouble, throws on the run, except makes some highlight plays. Milroe makes some highlight plays. Gabriel is that pinpoint passer that everybody gets attracted to. You know, Dylan Gabriel in some ways is not very different from Colt McCoy, by the way. Highly capable college quarterback. He's not as good as Colt was, in my opinion. But same kind of guy where a pinpoint passer and people question his arm strength. Colt has stronger arm and was a better athlete than Gabriel, in my opinion, but still. And then Carson Beck is kind of that prototypical NFL guy like Quinn. So they went with three different types of guys in between Beck and Ewers. And I'm not so sure Riley Leonard from Notre Dame doesn't belong in this conversation as well.
100%.
But Quinn's not sexy right now in some standpoints because he doesn't have that extra juice that Sanders does with his legs. Milroe does as a runner and big play artist, and Gabriel does as a pinpoint passer.
All right, y'all, we got some super chats here that we need to knock out. And Jonathan McKay, thank you, Jonathan. He says, just showing my support.
Thanks, Jonathan.
And then Huahin Golfer says, hook on from Thailand. I've been scraping for too long. You guys are just super. Thanks for keeping a retiree informed.
Thank you, Huahin. Hope you're enjoying Thailand. I got to be honest. I had some tornadoes in my neighborhood that literally touched down about 15 miles south of me last night. And I was like, I'm ready to get to a tropical island probably right about now. As long as it's not hurricane season there.
Was that middle of the night or just late evening?
From it touched down literally 15 miles away at around 5:45. So from 5:45 to 7, we were on, you know, we were watching the local news and doing that whole thing, huddling in the basement.
I can say this. Bobby knows this. I've mentioned this. The year I lived there in Franklin. There was nothing like the 3 a.m. Siren that wakes you up from a tornado. I mean, that is not a good way to wake up. I'm just going to put it out there. You get used to it if you live there, but not a good way to wake up.
Not something you want to get used to by any means. Juan with the super chat. Thank you, Juan. He says, Jerry, any basketball portal recruiting news?
And we'll tie that in with Gavin Hahn's question at 9:32. I mean, look, JT Toppin is the top guy on the board as far as the bigs go, but he's going through the NBA pre-draft process. He's expected to come back to college. If he does, it'll be a battle. I mean, it'll be a battle. Texas Tech, Texas, Arkansas, but Texas is all in. They think JT Toppin's tremendous and is a perfect fit for what they need. We'll see what happens. I mean, that one won't be easy for anybody involved. But he is going through that pre-draft process. He is expected to come back to college as of Monday. So I'll make a call tomorrow and see if anything's changed there.
And then, as you said, we did have another basketball question, Jerry, just about recruiting in general when it comes to basketball. Do you have any other news?
Yeah, so I think Texas has a couple of spots left in the portal, and they're not going to rush decisions there. They're going to take their time. I mean, obviously, JT Toppin, if anybody's in that pre-draft process, you kind of have to take your time. You kind of have to wait that out. But I don't think Texas is going to rush into making a decision there. I think they're going to take their time a little bit, which tells you that JT Toppin is a guy they really like. They lost out on the kid, the Ford that went to Cal. I think that was one they really wanted. I'm not sure if there's anything close to that. So we'll see if they make a move there. I think Texas likes their roster. If they add the right big, I think they feel like they're ready to go battle. I think they're going to be really good at guard, guys. I think they're really good at guard. I think they're improved at guard. And I'm not saying talking A-Smiths. I'm talking about the other parts. I think they're much improved there. I think they're bigger in the backcourt. Trey Johnson could be a lottery pick. Texas hasn't had a 6'6 guy who could be an NBA all-star shooting guard that could be a lottery pick. They've had some tremendous players at Texas come through, but they haven't had that. And they've had some great point guards. Obviously, TJ, DJ, they went in the lottery. We don't even mention KD. A lot of bigs that have gone in the lottery. But the one thing, Corey Joseph, a combo guard, was a first rounder. Avery Bradley was a shooting guard, but a 6'2 guy wanted to be a combo guard. But Texas hadn't had a guy like Trey Johnson. Yeah, he's going to be tremendous next year, and they put enough experienced pieces around them that can score the basketball with size at guard. Texas is going to be really good at guard. They got to get that final piece on the interior.
And now we'll jump over to football recruiting as we have a super chat regarding that from Jack. Thank you, Jack. He says, is our increased interest in Keelon Russell about his talent? Or maybe his possible influence on DeCorian Moore?
No, not on DK Moore will make a decision independent. It's a great question, by the way. DK Moore will make his own decision independent of anything else. If Keelon Russell flipped to Texas in June, that wouldn't be the reason DK Moore would flip to Texas. Keelon Russell's just really good player, and I think he's continued to get better. And I think KJ Lacy's a really good player. He's gotten bigger. He's 186 pounds now. So I think it's just that Keelon Russell, the more you watch him and you watch his growth, he's very talented.
Let me ask you this, Jerry, because this is a good topic. You just went and saw KJ Lacy. You came away very impressed with him.
He's a gamer. He's a point guard quarterback.
Yeah. So, but he's not big.
No.
And Keelon Russell is a big guy. And here's the question I think that some people might be grappling with. Does Keelon Russell ultimately have more upside because of his size, because of his arm strength, than KJ Lacy? Or does KJ Lacy have just as much upside? What are your thoughts on that?
Man, it's a tough call. I mean, because the quarterbacks who are 6 feet are always going to say, what's their upside, right? Everybody else has a higher ceiling. Well, isn't Alabama glad they didn't think that way with Bryce Young? I mean, Russell Wilson was passed over, 5'11 and a half, 200-pound guy. Now, obviously, he had huge hands, but he's a baseball player. By the way, Russell Wilson was passed over. He wanted to transfer to Texas, and Mac passed him over. So add that one to the quarterback talk. We have that. Russell Wilson didn't want to go to Wisconsin. He wanted to go to Texas, and Texas said no, thanks. So I don't know if Texas fans ever knew that one, but throw that one on in the bucket of quarterback disaster recruiting. But so that's the thing. That's the mistake I don't want to make with a guy like KJ. Like KJ Lacy's a gamer. He is a point guard, was a point guard growing up and a quarterback growing up. He trains with David Morris. He has for years, same place that Arch Manning trains. Eli Manning worked with David Morris when he was in the pros. So he's with the right people. He's got that sports mind. He's got a real understanding of playmaking and how to play the position. He is tremendously well coached by Jeff Kelly at Saraland, who was a standout quarterback at Southern Miss, played briefly in the NFL and CFL. He's won. He throws the ball with timing to fast receivers, similar to Keelan Russell. So I don't want to make the mistake of putting size on a kid, because that can be dumb. I think Keelan Russell athletically has a lot of juice. Alabama offer to Keelan Russell, that was big in my estimation for Keelan Russell, because that means Kalen DeBoer sees something not only as a passer, it's a passer first with Keelan Russell, but also that athleticism, I think, is he runs on the 4x4 team that went to state. You're a high-end athletic competitor if you do that.
Yeah. That's the issue. I think that's the ultimate issue. I think that KJ Lacy is more ready-made, and I think that people think that the issue with Keelan Russell, Jerry, when you start talking about his ceiling, he hasn't stopped improving.
Yeah.
And so you don't know how much more improvement he has in front of him.
And I'll say this, and there's one other piece to this that is big in quarterback recruiting, especially with Texas. Who has the patience to sit 2 years? Because you're now coming into a situation where there's Arch Manning and Trey Owens look good in the spring game. You're on a 2-year development. So you have to be willing to develop for 2 years. And I know the majority of Texas fans, well, if Arch Manning did it, why wouldn't anybody else? Well, a lot of people don't think that way. 1 year, yeah. A redshirt year, yeah. But not every guy wants to sit two. So that's another piece to this. Who is willing to sit two and potentially two? You're only a play away and you're after a redshirt year, more than likely. But who's willing to sit two, thinking I'm not going to play for 2 years, but I'm going to develop and buy into this, and I know it's going to be the best for me in the long run? That could be your answer ultimately in this discussion.
Hey, Blake, I think we got to break the seal here. We've had a lot of questions about Jerry's high comment on the On Texas Football message board. Jerry, I know for those unfamiliar, that means Jerry believes or knows, that someone is committed to the University of Texas, but is withholding their announcement for a little bit. Jerry, give people what you want to, with the understanding that don't cross the line. We understand you got to keep people's confidence, et cetera.
Yeah, the only thing I can really say is hi. I can't go there.
All right, there you go. All
right, people will be happy. People will be happy.
Well, goodness. All right, we're gonna go back to Keelan Russell for just a second. They want to know if you have a comp for him, Emmanuel Villafranco. Do you have a comp for Keelan Russell?
That's a really good question. 6'3" will be 210 pounds. He probably runs in the field, he'll test in the 4.5s one day. The thing that impressed me about Keelan last spring, and we talked about this, Bobby, on the show, is what I was impressed with watching Keelan, while I think about if there's somebody that maybe reminds you of him, is – those practices at Duncanville, and I was there last spring with about 7 college coaches, 3 OCs. It was the day Bobby Petrino offered him, but Petrino was at A&M, and no, he didn't come to practice on a motorcycle. But Keelan, Alex January and Colin Simmons are on your ass, okay? They're playing on your side of the line of scrimmage in a little scrimmage situation, simulated scrimmage situation. What impressed me with Keelan was how well he moved in the pocket, how he changed ball speeds, how he checked down, how he didn't just look for big plays. Because at Duncanville, it's easy to look for big plays because DeCorian Moore, even though Duncanville had six power five level DBs, DeCorian Moore is going to be open. And he can get open down the field whenever he wants to. And they had a couple other guys that were 10-6 guys that could really run too. But he showed the understanding of how to play the position that day to me in a setting where sometimes you don't see it. And I was standing next to a pretty good college OC, and we both started talking about it. And he was like, that's why he's my number one guy. And I was like, okay, I see it. I see it with Keelan Russell. And look, here's the other thing with Keelan is he's the best quarterback prospect Duncanville's had in my years doing this. I mean, Quentin Jackson wasn't a quarterback prospect. He's an athlete. But Keelan Russell to take the ball at an early age there, two state titles in a row. I think they may be a favorite for a third if him and DeCorian stay healthy, even though they lost a lot. They just have so much talent. But I think I've always said, if you're a quarterback at one of these major blue blood schools, the one thing I want to kind of take away when I meet you, Bobby, and talk to you is, here's the ball. There's 100,000 fans in the stands. Here are all the expectations in the world. Do I think that guy is the guy that can handle it and wants it and relishes the opportunity? I do think Keelan Russell has that in him. So I don't know, that's not a player comparison, but I once met a quarterback on the road that signed with Texas, and I'm not going to say who it was, but I went up to see the kid. He gave me a dead fish handshake and looked at the ground. That was my first introduction to this quarterback. And I walked away from there and I said, that guy can't do it at Texas. No chance. No way. And with Keelan Russell and KJ Lacy, by the way, I got the impression they can, for what it's worth.
Yeah. You go back to comparisons for him. I saw a guy in high school, went to see him in person, not on a trip, not unlike what you're taking right now, Jerry. Keelan Russell also has what I call a heavy arm, if that makes sense. The ball is still going late in the process. It's still kind of the ball's heavy. He throws a heavy ball. Yep. I don't know how, if people know what I'm talking about, they do. I mean, I don't know how else better to explain it. Dante Culpepper was about 6'3 and a half, 6'4 in high school.
Yeah.
And threw a heavy ball, played at Ocala Vanguard High School in Central Florida, and was just, I think he's probably a slightly, Dante at the same age, was a slightly better athlete and not quite as good a quarterback at the same age, to give you an answer. So that would be my comp. That's a pretty lofty comp. I mean, what did Culpepper play, 10 years in the NFL? So I think he's a good player.
I wanted to say Jalen Daniels, but whenever you say that, then the expectations go through the roof.
He's not thin like Jalen Daniels,
though. No, he's not. Well, he is now, but he won't be. He has a thicker frame.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's not. Yeah. Jalen Daniels a little slight for pro football. That would be my biggest concern with him.
Trez Blogs, no, it wasn't Casey Thompson. But it was somebody that did play quarterback at Texas and not effectively.
Joe, we got
when you met him.
We got a super chat here from Hua Hen Golfer. He says, sorry, guys, I thought it was U.S. dollars. I was hoping to contribute to the beer fund for a pre-party on June 30th before the SEC party at the Tower, or CDC's SEC party at the Tower. Hoping to meet some of these on Texas football members. Feel like I've known some a long time. Hook 'em. And Jerry, that's why Davison didn't include us. Thank you, Julian. We appreciate the big super chat for sure. That's awesome.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you. Look, I'll be there. Exciting times.
Hey, somebody else we appreciate, y'all, is South Point Dodge, Jerry.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, look, I've been driving around in the state of Florida, and I've thought about South Point Dodge a few times. I got to be honest. But, hey, Texas football fans, score an extra, easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff doesn't do games or gimmicks. They just get straight to the point by getting you the very best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. Come see us off I-35 in Austin, in South Austin, or at southpointdodge.com. get to the point at South Point Dodge. Hey, look, I'm going to add another one in for him. If Texas scores a 50 burger on Michigan, you all get free South Point Dodges.
God. Easy now. Don't be writing checks your butt can't cash.
Everybody knows I'm joking, and everybody knows it's not happening. All you want to do is score 31 in that game or 28.
I think you might get away with 21. That's my takeaway right now. I think Michigan's going to have issues on offense. Looking at this list, I'm telling you that we were talking earlier about this Pro Football Focus list. They've got seven guys total, six on defense.
That's pretty impressive. You know what we'll do for tomorrow?
Even if you don't like Pro Football Focus, that's still impressive.
You know what we're going to do tomorrow, before tomorrow's show? We'll look back at this list last year they had, if we can find it, Blake.
There you go.
And see what it looked like comparative. I think that'd be fun because I have a feeling Michigan's offensive line was on there a few times. And that probably translated for them offensively with a lot of guys. But like I've said this year, Colson Loveland looks around in the huddle and doesn't recognize any faces this year.
Yeah. Well, let's reset here, guys. We obviously talked about the PFF deal, but Jerry, you're on the road. Dia Bell, you're going to go see him in just a little bit. So tell folks about him real quick before I have to get out of here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Dia Bell, son of Rajah Bell, obviously longtime NBA player. Dia Bell was a first-year starting starter. He played in American Heritage, obviously, before that, but had a tremendous year, really caught Texas' attention. He's a kid who was at the Texas spring practice in early March there, right when they got started. Good-looking kid in person. Texas offered him. He's one of two quarterbacks that has an offer right now. I'm really excited to see Dia in person today. I mean, I saw him in person at the spring practice. Obviously, I'm going to see him a little different today and get a chance to spend some time with him. But the tape, Bobby, really impressive with Dia Bell. He's a basketball kid and football kid background. Obviously, his father played in the NBA. But a guy at LSU I know is very high on right now. Texas is very high on him. Those are the two schools that I'm hearing mentioned the most. But we'll see. Kind of what we get from Dia today. He's coming back to Texas June 1st. That's the elite camp day. That's the day KJ Lacy committed last year. So you figure Dia Bell, Troy Hune will be there that day. I really think right now Texas 26 quarterback is going to come from one of these two guys. And could it change? Absolutely. But Dia Bell, very talented guy, Bobby. Really good feet. I think he has good playmaking outside of the pocket. But he's a throw first, second, and third guy. He's not going to tuck that ball till he has to, and that's really what I like about him. Look, Sark ain't going to recruit somebody that can't make all the throws. So we already know that. He can make all the throws else Sark wouldn't have offered him. I like his feet and athleticism and playmaking with those feet.
Yeah, the best thing about him that I see right here, his eyes don't go down, even within the pocket. When he's pressured in the pocket, he doesn't feel – he doesn't walk into pressure. And keeps his eyes up. He's, and you do that when you have supreme confidence in athleticism and what you're supposed to do. So he's going to be an elite quarterback prospect and an elite player. Very interesting. Very interesting. That's a good quarterback because it shows you the difference, Jerry, in athleticism and what it brings to the table for a quarterback. That extra half second that Pat Mahomes gets.
Yeah.
Makes all the difference.
All the difference. And living rent free. Living rent free's her Penn State. Penn State's another school. Yeah, with Dia Bell. We'll see what happens though. If he goes, what happens long term?
All right, guys, we got another super chat. I'm going to leave y'all with this one as I get out of here. But this from David. Thank you, David. He says, "Do you think secondary coaching is losing credibility? I'm thinking about the 2023 season, the portal departures, and the spring game busted coverages. Coach Akina was a big miss."
Coach Akina was not a big miss. I got to be honest. He wasn't going to be the defense coordinator at Texas. He's the defensive coordinator at Arizona. Unless you were going to pay an off-field assistant $500,000 a year, which wasn't going to happen. So I disagree with that. I also disagree that the portal, outgoing portal people. See you, Blake. Have a good one, buddy.
Bye. All
right, take care. Jerry, I disagree that the portal is indicative of anything wrong with the coaching staff. The outgoing portal guys, every single one of them, with the exception of Terrence Brooks, have been passed by younger players or players of the same age. So they really are transferring for playing time, not because they didn't live up to expectations. The only one that possibly didn't live up to expectations, and it was a mutual departure, was Terrence Brooks. That's the only one. So I don't put that on them either. I don't put the Dwayne Akina being a big miss. I don't put the portal. The piece where you have to wonder is coaching in general having an issue? And I don't know that they've had the top-end talent to say it's an issue. I mean, look, they started three guys last year that they think they've got better guys than this year.
Yep.
So I'm not so sure what's what there. I do believe that playing off coverage gave them a little bit of a, especially at corner, gave them a little bit of a negative connotation in recruiting. But I also think that going to the college football playoff negates that. I think a lot of this talk, I think a lot of it's in the heads of fans who see the spring game and, you know, are thinking, oh my, we're going to get run all over or thrown all over, and don't realize that Arch Manning and Trey Owens were out there throwing dimes. I mean, they really legitimately were. So I'm not that concerned about DB recruiting or
coaching,
et cetera.
No, Texas is a college football playoff team. They're going to be ranked top five. They just had 11 guys drafted. Where Texas will be judged a little bit is Derek Williams and Manny Muhammad. Those guys, the careers they have, where they get drafted, that's going to be big for Texas. Look, Sarkisian, when you come out in your press conference, say this guy could be a first-round pick one day, he needs to be a first- or second-round pick. I mean, that would you pretty much put that one out there yourself. And then Manny Muhammad, right? I mean, Manny Muhammad was a guy that Nick Saban talked to an hour and a half the night before he announced, trying to get him to put off his commitment, come to Alabama one more time. So what if he keeps on his trajectory, and he is a student of the game like Earl Thomas was. He is a film room junkie like Earl was. So he's got the traits. He's going to make it. The question is, are you going to be a first rounder? Are you going to be a second rounder? If both those guys hit, then that's big for Texas, because those were highly ranked guys that hit. And that's what really impacts you in recruiting, can impact you negatively, is if your highly ranked guys don't hit. And then people start to say, well, we know how talented that guy was. That's on you. And look, Texas went through that for years. They're not going through that right now.
All right, we've got some more questions here to get to. I'm Bobby Burton with Jerry Hamilton. Thanks for watching the Thursday morning Coffee and Football, brought to you by our friends at Austin Underground. Jerry, let's take a few more questions. Let's start with this one from Corey B. Have you heard of Daquan Prevost out of Liberty, Iowa, in Texarkana in the 2026 class? Is Texas after him? He's an athlete that plays both sides of the ball. Thanks, Corey, for the super chat as well.
Yeah, thank you, Corey. He's on the list. Texas offered him early. Where he falls now, I'm not sure if maybe he's as high as his national rankings are. Now that Texas got out and evaluated a lot of guys. I was up through that area and talked to three or four coaches that have seen him, went up against him. I was there a few weeks ago, and they thought he was a good player. They weren't sure he was. He wasn't in the conversation of a Landon Jackson. I'll say that level player, just kind of the levels. But he's a very talented player, no doubt. Yeah,
Landon Jackson is a top 25 player in the country, probably.
Yeah,
to be fair. Yeah. All right, this one from Robert Gilbert. Four QBs, all things being equal, arm strength, leadership. Don't you take the bigger, more athletic one? Most people would, but I think Jerry hit on something. Who plays best under duress?
Yeah.
Who leads the team better? You look for intangibles as much as the actual raw talent to be a deciding factor there. So while athleticism's nice, it's not necessarily a leadership quality, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, A&M in Texas passed on Drew Brees.
Not good. I mean, anyway you take it, Hey, Jerry, let's go. You're down in Florida in recruiting, and we got a bunch of questions I want to get to today. So this is actually really good. Corey J, Jerry, do you really think Texas is the leader for Jacksonville, Florida wide receiver Jamie French, or just excitement from his recent visit? That's a fair question. Is there like that halo effect going on after visiting Texas a couple weekends ago?
I actually think that's a great question by Corey J. Look, so this is why I just caution. I think Texas and LSU are probably the top two for Jamie French right now, and I think Texas maybe is number one. But 2 months ago, he was headed to Ohio State. So we haven't even hit the June official visit process yet. So this stuff really – these kids, that the process has been fun. They felt a little stress. But now when we get this May evaluation period where all these college coaches are coming and visiting with them one time again, and then the June official visit process, that's where the pressure really sets in for these kids. So I always caution it. I think Texas is in a good spot for Jamie French. I think he's a tremendously talented player. My takeaway from watching him a little bit at the Texas visit in April and then sitting down with him for extended period of time, even more so than what the video was, I think he's a really good fit at Texas. I think his mom really likes the academic football combination at Texas. I think she liked what she heard from Steve Sarkisian and Chris Jackson and even Tory Becton and people. So I think there's a level of comfort there that helps Texas. The question with that Jamie hasn't hit this pressure part of the recruitment yet. Miami's going to make their big push in June. They're going to fight to try to keep him at home. Look, Ohio State dang near lost Jeremiah Smith to Miami. It was a lot closer than people thought. So it's going to happen to all these guys. So who leads right now? I mean, look, I think Texas is in a good spot for Jamie French. I think they're in a good spot for Michael Fasusi. I'm not going to get ahead of myself on these things because we have to see how it plays out in the NIL world and with these June official visits. Because, look, I mean, the reality is that one player could be leaning to Texas right now. And maybe the NIL package at another school is considerably different. And then that lead, whoever leads in May 9th doesn't matter anymore. So you just got to see how it plays out a little bit. All right, but I think Jamie French really likes the Texas offense. Sark, he liked Austin. I think his mom likes about everything she saw from Texas. They're in a good spot. Legit shot.
Is he a top 50 player in the country?
I think him and Kalik Lockett are in that conversation for sure. They have such good body control. The thing about Jamie, too, is he isn't even close to maximizing his talent. He was 6 foot 2 years ago. He's 6'2 now. He's 180, 283 pounds. But if you look at him, and this is true for a lot of public school kids in Florida, the setup's not there like Texas, Georgia, Ohio. He hasn't even scratched the surface physically, really. I mean, he's going to be a 6'2, 205-pound guy, very similar to A.D. Mitchell in terms of frame and that body control and the skill set, very similar. But I think he's very talented, Bobby. One thing I always tell people, go back and look at an A.D. Mitchell senior tape and go look at Jamie French's junior tape or junior tape. And then that's a fun way to compare some of these guys.
All right, I want to say this real quick from Mike G. Does the PFF list that we were talking about earlier only include draft-eligible players? No, it does not, because Caleb Downs is their number one ranked safety. Young man that played for Alabama last year, transferred, played for Alabama as a true freshman, transferred to Ohio State this offseason. He's their number one safety. He's not draft-eligible after this year, so he does not count. I want to go back over that Pro Football Focus list just a little bit for those people that just came in or came in the last 30 minutes. Pro Football Focus listed their top 10 players at each position that are coming back next year for the 2024 season. Texas placed only two players in any of the positions in the top 10. Kelvin Banks was the number two offensive tackle. Quinn Ewers, the number five quarterback. Some other notes of some other things to note. Georgia had five such players, four of them on offense, which was interesting. Michigan had seven players, only one of them on offense, six of them on defense. So if you're looking for strength coming to Austin or Texas going on the road, it's the Michigan defense,
yeah,
and the Georgia offense.
Yeah.
That's a fair. Fair. Also, Oklahoma only had one, Danny Stutzman, the linebacker. A&M had two, Troy Zune, an offensive tackle, ranked number 10. And then Nick Scowerton, the very edge good prospect out of Purdue that just transferred in.
Yeah, from Bryan High. But somebody, for those that asked, yeah, it's any classification. Caleb Downs is the number one safety on this list.
Yep, that's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Bobby referenced that. So, yeah, it's anybody that's played college football is what they're looking at there. Gino Valenzuela, will Texas ever make trips to Hawaii to get big humans? Well, look, the Texas definitely recruits in Hawaii. Johnny Nansen, obviously, is going to be more of that in Hawaii. Jeff Choate went out there. I think Texas will spot recruit in Hawaii. Big humans, though, I don't know. There's so many of those in Texas and in the Southeast. I don't know. It, unless there's some real true connections, I don't know if Texas goes that way for an OL or DL. There have to be some real connections there.
I want to say this. It also doesn't mean they won't go after Polynesian kids at that position. Just maybe not all the way to Hawaii for them, although they did go get Leonga LaFau. Hey, this is fun. Love it. Cody Wilson, Brian Coate, hi, Coach here. It's pronounced Scorton instead of Scowerton. Good stuff. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
By the way, Cody, what I was thinking about, what did he go by in high school, though? That's not what he went by in high school.
He had a different last name, I think.
Yeah, he did in high school. Because when he popped into the portal, it didn't register with me right away. I had to look at his bio. I was like, oh, yeah, that guy. We had that kid in an Under Armour camp years ago when I was ESPN Under Armour.
Yeah,
it was not Scorton, though. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was Caraway. There you go. It was Nick Caraway. Thank you, Brian Berg.
Yep, there we go. All right. Hey, Jerry, here's another recruiting question. Kobe Sellers, corner out of Pearland's Shadow Creek. He's announcing Saturday. We assume A&M. Is it A&M, OU? A&M seems to be gaining some run right now with DBs in the Houston area. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think A&M has got a really good shot there. And you know, I'm not sure how Oklahoma was the leader for a while. Everybody tried to tie him in with some other guys, but the kid he's very close to is Max Granville, the edge out of Fort Bend Christian, who they went to Fort Bend Christian together before Kobe Sellers transferred to Shadow Creek, were very close to home there. But I think A&M's made up some ground there for sure. And I don't know 100%. I wonder how much OU really pushed here in the last two or three weeks of that one. They had a considerable lead for a long time.
All right. We're gonna lighten things up here a little bit with Jay Lee. He helps us do that every so often. Sorry for how random this is, but my brother was asking which coaches would win a street fight. Gundy versus Venables stumped me. Have an opinion? I think that physically Brent Venables would dominate. I think Mike Gundy would do the leg sweep. You know, I think he'd have something for Brett that was kind of a nefarious or gamesmanship slash strategic. What do you think, Jerry?
Yeah, I mean, two great schemers. I know they'd overthink their first punch or move. That's for sure. I would take Gundy in that one, though. Because Corny's got to come into play. I mean, you know, Venables is a corny guy. Gundy's going to be much more serious, and he's going to go on, I'm a man, I'm 40 mode, and I think Venables is in trouble.
He's a man. He's 50 now, by the way. That automatically takes you down.
Mike would do this right before he punched him in the face.
Hey, this is a good one for Brendan Bowersox. Odds Texas has four straight first-round draft picks at wide receiver. Worthy in 23, Bond 24, Cook 25, and Wingo 26. That Jonte Cook needs to have that kind of breakout campaign this year to be talking about first round, in my opinion. Bond has that speed, which is going to put him in that category regardless. And then Wingo, I mean, look, I'm kind of tapped myself on the back a little bit about saying he was the best looking wide receiver prospect Texas has signed since Roy Williams. And then all of a sudden, you know, 30 days later, everybody's saying the same thing. Of those, I feel like Bond is the one that you can look towards because I do think he has the speed. I think Zingo is going to be that. He just has to
prove himself over time. He has a lot of time period to go between now and then. Cook is interesting because I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know if he's a first round receiver type or if he's a second and third round guy that is highly, highly productive. Yeah. I mean, you got to remember Amon Ross St. Brown did not go first round.
Right.
So, I mean, he doesn't have those physical traits where you're like, oh, he's 6'1". Oh, he runs 4.3.
Yeah.
He's 6 foot by 11 and he runs 4.4.
Yeah.
4.45, you know, and so you've got to have special production or something that pops you up a little bit there. What are your thoughts on that though, as a whole? That's pretty talented list, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, look, A.D. Mitchell didn't go in the first round. The guy, yeah. I mean, that's, I would, UT boy, I like Ajonte, a fan. I think he's more of a second, third round type of guy for the reasons that Bobby said. And I think he's fast. And I think he's a very good player. But look, there's a lot of really good players out there. I mean, that's just the reality. And there's a lot of guys that will develop that have those longer arms, those bigger frames that are going to develop over time that didn't come out of high school on the same playing field level with a guy like Ajonte Cook. But their ceiling was so high that once they got to college, they just kind of took off. So there's always guys like that in the draft. So I think 4 years in a row with the first rounder, I don't think will happen. But here's the crazy thing about a question like that right now. Who knows what Texas does in the portal next year? That's the hard thing. You could walk away with a first round pick out of the portal.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I agree with you. All right. Let's see here. David Keith Williams has a question I want to get to. I think UT needs Jaden Blue to have a good year. I think he can rush for 800 yards and be an asset in the passing and return game. Hopefully Blue being drafted thins out the running back room in a good way. There's some truth to that thinning out of the running back room in a good way, so that you allow other players to develop underneath. I think that he can rush for 800 yards and he will be an asset in the passing game. I'm not so sure there's a 1,000-yard rusher as much as 2 800-yard rushers in this season, by the way, Jerry. What do you think of that?
Yeah, so I think the best case scenario for Blue, my estimation would be, and I'm not saying the guy can't do better, but I'm saying if he had 650 rushing yards and 600 receiving yards, I think that is a full talent on display for him for NFL. Because when I look at Jaden Blue in the NFL draft, we were talking about this last night on the live stream. The 25 running back class in the NFL is much deeper and more talented than the 24 class was. But here's what a lot of those guys are. When you look at Quinshon Judkins, Marion Hampton, Jade Knott from Cal, the two kids from Penn State, none of those guys are the space speed burner like Jaden Blue. That's what he's got going for him. So I hope he maximizes that in the receiving game, maybe even more so than in the running game this year, so he can differentiate himself from those guys. Because if you just get into who's going to run the ball the best, right? And we're talking inside zone, we're talking outside zone, we're talking all that. There's some really productive, Ollie Gordon. There's some really productive guys that are going to be in the draft in that class next year. So I think the more passes he catches, the more he plays in space is the more that's going to help him. Because if you just compare him as a runner to those guys with some bigger, more NFL frames and a lot of production that have been doing it, I think that hurts him. I think what helps him is the versatility. But I'll say this. I don't want him returning kickoffs. You got Matthew Golden for that. You got Silas Bolden. You got some other guys for that. I don't want him returning kickoffs. I want him and Cedric Baxter rotating it running back. And I'm not saying Blue can't return one, but I don't want that to be on the regular. And I don't think it will be. I think Matthew Golden is a tremendous kickoff return guy, and he was brought in to be a difference maker for Texas in that regard. But I think catching the ball in the backfield, the more he plays in space, I think it's going to help his draft stock, because you don't want to be put in, you don't want to be square peg round hole and compared to the guys who are the natural bigger frame runners.
Yep. All right. Good stuff. Jason Washington has a question.
I hear that I think is a good one. Is it fair to say that Cook and Moore were the more consistent or most consistent in the spring game? Yes. I don't think there's any doubt that Cook was more consistent than Isaiah Bond. Isaiah Bond dropped some passes in the spring game, frankly. And until Steve Sarkisian started feeding him the ball and getting him used to it, he didn't look like a top flight receiver. Once Sark started doing that, however, you started being able to see the speed kind of accentuate itself, so to speak. Moore clearly had a great spring game as well. So I have no problem with saying Cook and Moore were more consistent. That doesn't mean they're going to go higher in the draft. That's the difference about what we were talking about. So at some level, the draft is a beauty contest. I mean, that's just what it is. And so, hey, that's happens. Hey, we neglected to mention another wide receiver when we were talking about wide receivers earlier. Not that I think he's going to go in the first round. But Odin Horn says, my friend's son was in the Beavers locker room at Oregon State with Silas Bolden. Said Silas was the alpha dog on offense, stud athlete. What, had 60-some-odd catches last year?
54 for 720, punt return touchdown, 400 kickoff return yards, had a few rushes. And I'll say this, I 100% agree with that because we've had him on the show twice, Bobby. And both times we had him on the show, you never left that interview saying, can he handle playing at the University of Texas? You walked away from that interview saying, he's going to surprise people at the University of Texas. He is really good. Look, I love the chip on his shoulder because I think it's such a positive chip on his shoulder. Yeah, he's 5'8", 165, 5.5", whatever it'll top out at, 165, 170. He's quick. He's fast. He's explosive. He can change directions. He'll go compete for the ball in the air. He is not scared of contact. You don't return kicks at his size unless you're an alpha personality. I think he's going to surprise very much so next year. I think he's going to be a very good player. And let's just say this, Bobby. For Sark, with what Texas can do in the portal right now, coming off a Big 12 championship and college football playoff season, the fact that they saw 5'8", 165 and said, we got to have him, tells you how good they think he is. Because they had a lot of choices.
They really did. And could have went a number of different directions, Jerry. I mean, and still went with it. Let's finish off here today's Thursday's Coffee and Football with a couple more questions from everybody. Let's ask you this one, Jerry, from a recruiting perspective. Robert Gray wants to know, is it realistic that Texas could land multiple five-star wide receivers this year?
Realistic, possible, yes. Does that happen? Very rarely. I think the NIL changed the game a little bit too. So I think it makes it a little tougher. But could Texas land a couple of guys? Yeah, it's not out of the question. I mean, it's just not out of the question. Texas had too much success on the field. They're very competitive in the NIL game. They're moving to the SEC. They had 11 guys drafted. Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell being part of that, the offense, the quarterback room. What Arch and Trey did in the spring game, that's impressive stuff. That speaks to the depth of the quarterback room. Yeah, it's possible. I'm not sure I'd say it's probable because there's so much competition. It's possible for sure. I'll say this. So people always ask, DeCorey Moore committed to LSU, obviously. Khalik Lockett, Jamie French, Kelshon Johnson. And I'm not saying that's going to be the four, but if Texas hit on three of those four, that's electric. That's beyond electric. That's Texas electricity ratings times a million. I mean, if Texas got three of those four guys, that's a hellacious wide receiver class. Hellacious. I mean, DeCorey Moore is a super freak. Kelshon Johnson has no idea. Kelshon Johnson could run 10-3. He has no idea how fast he could be one day. And Jamie French and Khalik Lockett have as good a body control. Both have 10 and Lockett almost has 11-inch hands. Jamie French has 10.5-inch hands, long wingspans, long frames. That if Texas got three of those four, that is a hellacious wide receiver class. I mean, multiple NFL guys.
Got it. All right, Roger G, you were mentioned about the quarterbacks, Arch among them.
Great question.
Which schools do y'all think Arch could start for in the SEC?
Great question.
Feels like it's most of them. best QB room in the country. I do think Texas has the best QB room in the country.
So let's go down the list. A&M, yes. Arkansas, I mean, no question. Let's name the schools he couldn't. That's easier. Quinn's a third-year starter. Jackson Dart's a third-year starter. Carson Beck is a multi-year starter, right? Outside of just the multi-year starters, I mean, Kentucky.
Find out you've got Jalen Milroe at the third best quarterback overall.
Jalen Milroe. And by the way, Jalen Milroe, yeah, returning starter. But this goes to the point of also why all these is Arch going to transfer articles? How dumb they were in theory, if you think about this. Where was he going to go? If Alabama's quarterback was returning, Ole Miss's quarterback was returning, Texas quarterback was returning, Georgia's quarterback was returning. That's who he considered. And Clemson's quarterback was returning. Where was he going to go? That's how dumb all these articles were. If you really thought about this, people are like, oh, go to Ohio State. Has a Manning played outside the SEC freaking ever? Like, how dumb are people to write all these articles? He was not going to go anywhere, even if he wanted to, and he didn't want to, by the way. Everybody's quarterback was returning that he considered it. These articles were asinine. It was so bad, it pisses me off so much.
Jerry, I think people understand. I think that the question was, I think a lot of people wanted him to transfer to their school, whether it was Ohio State was particularly interesting there. They were trying to almost lure him into the portal with everything. But USC, all those kind of guys.
He started Auburn? Yes.
But he's not going to go to Auburn.
No.
He's going to go to the state school. He's not going to A&M.
That's right.
He's not going to Auburn.
He started LSU? Yeah. Has any Manning gone to LSU? No.
Yeah, exactly. With plenty of opportunity.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, that to say that. All right. Let's call that a wrap for today, guys. Thank you all for watching. If you would, please give us a like and a subscribe to this channel. Also, if you are interested in news, and I will say this, Jerry, we are kind of waiting on something. Before we talk about the special we have going on at On Texas Football, I'm going to give you one last opportunity to say something about what you wrote yesterday on the On Texas Football or late last night about a high, which typically from you means that Texas has a commitment from someone in the bag here. What's the latest on that? What can you say and what can you not say?
So the only hint I'll give is I'm in the Sunshine State and it's not a player from Florida. So we'll see. We'll see when this happens. But it's not anybody in the state I'm in. I'll say that.
We do think it could be today, but we're not 100% sure on that.
Yeah.
But that'll be enough. We will definitely be on the lookout. All right. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. Please visit us at On Texas Football during the day. We have a special, become an OTF OG for just $39.95 annual subscription. It's the cheapest one out there that you'll find, OTF OG, or become a monthly member for just $5.95. Jerry, I'll see you. Good luck with Dia Bell later today. We'll also be back with a couple of more things today. Bob Shipley, Coach Bob Shipley and Rod Babers, as well as CJ Vogel, come back with the winning drive around 4:30 this afternoon. Rod and Bob then talk about football theory as well. And if there is a commitment, we'll be back here as well. For Jerry Hamilton, Bobby Burton, thanks also to Blake Monroe, Rick Vavro at Austin Underground, as well as our friends at South Point Dodge. You've been watching Coffee and Football. Y'all have a good day. Hook 'em.